The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews used nothing in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true believers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. And when the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. So I actually still am. You can see I haven't shaved. Maybe you can't. But I am still on retreat, and I was on retreat since Tuesday morning, and I'm planned to be on retreat until Thursday morning. But Father John, who was going to say this mass, had a bad back and couldn't come about a week or two ago. And then I got Father Allen to come, and he said, he called up just at the last minute. He's at a senior residents, and they don't want him to go out, come back, and endanger the rest of the community. So I've come back to share my retreat with you. But, in a way, not to make light of it, but the whole world is taking a retreat. Many of us have been quarantined throughout the world, other parts of the world especially, As time goes on, we may have more and more restrictions. Those of you who are here, thank you for being here and celebrating the Eucharist, very important. Thank you for keeping the 6 feet spacing unless you're in the same family. That's important that we do that in consideration of others. But also to you at home, I think you have made a good choice, but I'd also like to encourage those at home and all of us to use this time to truly grow closer to the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity. I'm not making light of it because many people are suffering. But I made a joke at the beginning of Lent. Someone asked me, what are you giving up? And I said, I'm going to give up church. And in a way, if we stay away during these times, or even at some point ask to stay away, we would have to fast from the Eucharist. And our faith teaches us that this is a very important moment to come here physically, not just spiritually. Spirit and truth, I think, is what the gospel means by the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the incarnation. And this is a very real body, soul, and spirit communion with the Lord. But many of us Catholics, I think, don't fully appreciate what we do here. And sometimes by fasting, we can grow in fondness for what we miss. And so I would invite us all to, during this time, to really take a closer look at what the Eucharist is, what the Mass is. And that's actually been the theme of my retreat. And there are some wonderful books that I'll put on the website. But reading John chapter 6 is a great start. It truly talks about how important the Eucharist is. But John chapter 4, in which we have just read of, speaks of a very similar thing. There are many things going on here, but the most obvious first thing is that this woman, Samaritan woman who's coming to the well at noon, obviously, scholars tell us, because she's been shunned by her community as a sinner, and she doesn't want to go at a time in the morning when everyone else is. She feels unworthy to be in contact with anyone. And Jesus, true God and true man, reaches out to her, and her response is basically, who am I that you're talking to me? Every Mass we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. God, all-powerful, came into our existence. We who were not worthy by God's standards, or at least by our standards, but God has made us worthy because God wants to be with us and has gone through great lengths to establish a relationship with us and to truly give us his very divine life, which is what he's talking about, the living water. And so all of us are like that woman. Who are we that God would come to us? But he does. That's how much he loves us. And then it goes on to have a theological debate in this passage. The woman says, where's the right place to worship? Because as you know, Samaritans had been separated from the Jews. They were Jewish at one point, but it had intermarried and combined the pure Jewish religion with other religions. And so Jesus and her talk about the right place to worship. She says, is it where the Samaritans used to worship on their holy mountain that they had to duplicate the sanctuary in Jerusalem? Or is it in Jerusalem where the Jews believe God truly dwelt? And Jesus responds that you worship what you don't know. We, the Jews, worship what we do know. He's saying that the Jewish worship is superior to the Samaritan worship. But then he says, a day is coming when we will neither worship on that mountain or this mountain, but in spirit and truth. What he is talking about is the worship he established at the Last Supper, based on the way the Jewish people worshiped sacrifice, especially the Passover. This is the new Passover that he gives us. He established it as the true way to worship for all people, all time, Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles. It is the one sacrifice of himself, and since That time, shortly thereafter, the temple was destroyed and there were no more sacrifices. He comes to us. He gives himself totally, body, soul, and spirit. And his resurrected flesh and blood, true presence, soul and divinity, is truly here for us to partake in. For that was the form of Jewish worship. It wasn't simply a sacrament where an offering was, it wasn't simply a sacrifice where the offering was burnt and given to God, but in many of the sacraments, it concluded with eating the sacrifice to receive the benefits of that sacrifice. Christ established the true worship in spirit and in truth, for we truly receive the Holy Spirit as we worship as Christ established. And finally, in this passage, the woman goes off and tells others about who she encountered. And they came to see for themselves. And then after they saw for themselves, they said, "We no longer have to believe based on your word, but we have encountered you, Jesus, ourselves." We're all taught the faith from other people, but we need to keep searching until we truly can respond like those Samaritans. Others have told me about Jesus, but now I have encountered you myself. And we encounter him in this Eucharist. And for those of you who are not at home, it is the tradition of the church that if you, for some reason, no fault of your own, cannot receive the Eucharist, you can have a spiritual communion. And you can give yourself with Christ and ask to have the grace of that sacrament that he truly gives us. And whenever we can partake of it, we should. But whenever we are separated due to no fault of our own, it does not prevent us from the graces to have that union with God that he so longs to have with us, that he came from heaven to earth to have, that he gave of himself on the cross to give us his life, so that when we receive, we are one with him and transformed into children of God, heavenly creatures. And we spread that to others and bring them to the feast.